Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
We've spoken about this fairly regularly over the years in the programme. I mean, it's a reality staring everybody in the face, those that serve and those that avail of the service. I'm talking about the shortage and increasing shortage of priests to minister in their parishes. Not just priests, but brothers and, of course, I'd say nuns also. More than 20% of priests and brothers have died in the past 3 years alone. Let's find out more about what's going on there, because Father John Collins, one of the Association of Catholic Priests, director, is quoted as saying the figures are shocking. It's very sad to see so many have died in such a short space of time. And Father John Collins, he ministers in Swords. He's been with us regularly on the programme, as does our opening guest this morning, Father Tony Flannery of the Redemptorist Order. Good morning again, Tony. And thank you for joining us on the programme. Now, it's something that we're well aware of, but this new figure, 20% of priests and brothers dying in the past 3 years, we had a scenario, for example, here in Newbridge last year, where over in the Holy Family Convent in Newbridge, quite a number of nuns died within the space of days, much of it due to COVID. Is that reflected in the priest and brother sector as well?
Oh, it certainly is. Some of the religious orders in particular where they would live in community were very badly hit by COVID in the early days. But it's just the reality, Clem, of the age factor. I'd be 75 myself next Tuesday, and you know, that's where the priestly situation is now. So the fact is that priests are dying out in Ireland. There isn't any indication that vocations are going to increase, quite the opposite. So, and as you said in the introduction, Clem, we've known about this now for a good number of years, and it's really coming to a head at this stage. But it's difficult. It's not easy to know what the solution is.
Well, you see, I think, and just as a layperson advancing a solution, Tony, a potential solution on this, do we not have to grasp the reality here that, as you say, the ageing cohort of priests makes it inevitable that we'll have no priests unless the church at institutional level changes its attitude? It's half-heartedly, would my view, bringing on board lay people to perform certain tasks. But without the power of those lay people to minister the sacraments, to say Mass, so forth, surely we're going towards the inevitability of this crisis. Changes in the institutional church, Tony, that might allow priests to marry, would that help?
That would certainly help, but I think, and I'd agree fully with you, Clem, I think something even more radical is needed. I think, just very briefly, Clem, my own native parish is a country parish in County Galway. It now has no priest because the last surviving priest, who was in his mid-80s, has gone to a nursing home at this stage. So a priest drives out from Loughrea, 10 miles away, says a Mass and goes again. Now, there are some great people in the parish. I can think, for instance, of one woman who's been involved in the church all her life. She is now, her family are reared. She's highly respected in the community. If that woman was, call it what you like, call it the priest, call it, if you go back to the early church, you'd call her the leader of the believing community or whatever. If she was put in charge of the parish with the power to say Mass and perform the sacraments, she would bring the place back to life so fast. And it's a shame to see it the way it is at the moment.
I think that eloquently articulates the point that I was making.
Yes.
And if we look at the statistics advanced by the Association of Catholic Priests, the number of serving diocesan priests was officially recorded by the Catholic Church as being around 2,067. That was nearly 8 years ago, 2014, now that we're in 2022. Yes. That was when the number of priests aged between 75 and 84 was increasing steadily compared to previous years. Now, those priests, remember, 8 years on, are 83 to 89 or 91 or whatever else, yeah, just to my maths, compared to previous years. So yeah, in terms of that, We currently have working about 1,800 working priests, 720 retired priests. Let's face it, they're not going to, they're being press ganged back into service, are they not?
And that's, you're perfectly right there, and that's really, that should not be happening, because the official church said, the church authorities, they have two ways of dealing with the problem, and one of them is what you described, getting this declining cohort of older priests to do more and more work and cover more and more parishes, like the guy in Loch Ray coming out to do Kilmore Daily, and all that's going on all over the country. And the second thing they're doing is they're bringing in priests from Farben, and some of those work out quite well, others of them find it extremely difficult.
It's an ironic twist, isn't it, that that the priests are now being brought on the missions to Ireland, reversing a century's trend.
But the solution has to be along the lines of local believing communities choosing their own leaders and their own ministers. But God, Tim, I don't know when the church will get around to do that. I think actually Francis has a sense of that.
All right, can I talk about him in just a moment? Because I want to go through some of these numbers to bring the graphic numbers home to people in regards to this and to the numbers who are dying. According to the statistics, 174 nuns and 166 priests and brothers died in 2019. A further 191 nuns died in 2020. There'll be none left. And 223 priests and brothers also died. Up to September 2021, last September, another 131 nuns had died, as had 131 priests and brothers. And if we bring it as up to date as possible, that is between October and this month, January, just last week, a further 76 nuns and at least 36 priests and five religious brothers had died in addition to that. Tony, it's a tsunami, and I say that with the greatest of respect.
It is, and just to give an example of that, the religious community that I belong to, a Redemptorist community in the west of Ireland, and I can remember when I was a young priest, it was the most vibrant place with about 25 of us in the community, and there was all sorts of activity going on. Now, it's a big old building. There are 10 living in it. Of the 10, 7 are invalided. And there are only 3 who are capable of any type of activity, and they are all in their late 70s.
I'm wondering about the reality or the perspective in the institutional church at the highest level here in Ireland of the hierarchy, and indeed Pope Francis, as we mentioned a couple of minutes ago, whose attention was focused on people who have pets, prioritising pets over children as being selfish last week.
That might be a bit unfair to him.
I know it might, but it elicited the exact same reaction as you, Father Tony Flannery, of bursts of laughter from people and said, what world is this man living in? But even at the top of our church here in Ireland, the Catholic Communications Office, according to the Examiner, was asked for a comment about the number of deaths and referred the Irish Examiner to a homily by Archbishop Eamon Martin, Primate of All Ireland, last year. And this is what he said. The COVID-19 virus may have struck at the very heart of our outreach and ministry to the sick, the dying and the bereaved, but it could not and did not and will not destroy our hope and our conviction that God remains especially near to people who suffer, and God is close to those who are brokenhearted. I mean, Tony, that could beg the response from people. What kind of planet is he living on? He did not address the issue at all.
No, what the only words I used to describe that sort of talk, pious waffle. That's all it is, really. And it's his way of, as you say, not dealing with the reality, because he doesn't have an answer to it. So
Tony. But the answer is, if he and other primate cardinals around the world and the bishops' conferences around the world started to press home to the Vatican, lads, we're all dying here. We're all going to be gone in a short time. There will be no church.
I know, Oh, absolutely, I fully agree with you. But do you see any sign that the leadership of the Irish Church would be even remotely capable of thinking and acting like that? I don't. Certainly not Eamon Martin. I'm not sure with Dermot Farrell. Though it's a bit early to be passing judgment on Dermot.
The Archbishop of Dublin, of course.
Dublin. Yes.
And what about Pope Francis? He was touted at the very beginning of his papacy as being a progressive thinker, coming as he does from South America, where, let's face it, many of the churches in South American countries run to their own set of rules, including married priests and whatever else, and rarely defer to the Vatican. But has he been disappointing in that aspect?
In some ways he's been disappointing, but I think in other ways I'd still have great time for him. I think historically he will be seen as having achieved an enormous amount. The opposition to him in the Vatican and indeed around the world, and particularly in America, is enormous. It's incredible to see the way that senior church people, I'm talking about cardinals and archbishops and that, the way they speak about Francis and their sheer almost hatred of him. It's frightening. So I think Francis is doing the best he can, and I think he has a real good vision of what the church should be in the future. This effort he's making at synodality is, I think, a real game changer if it could work.
All right, but if it could work.
I don't see much sign of it happening in Ireland.
That's the caveat, if it could work. I mean, I quote another colleague of yours, it's the Cline in County Cork Diocesan based Father Tim Hazelwood. Tim has also spoken to us in this programme, and he puts it very succinctly. He says, in Ireland, the church we knew in the past is dying. That's the reality. You are seeing the traditional Catholic parish structure disappearing. Unless we grasp those changes of involving the laity much more, of ordaining women, and we haven't even spoken about women, the way they're marginalised within the Catholic Church, of ordaining women and married men, the church inevitably is going to be a place where lay people, like in many other traditions, administer the whole structure, and the whole world of bishops and cardinals and the papacy will all be sidelined.
Oh, that would be a glorious day. Again, to be fair to Francis, he constantly talks about how clericalism is the real bugbear of the church and what's preventing any effort at change. Clericalism means, you know, bishops, cardinals, priests in charge, having the power and holding on to it. And, you know, these old priests around Ireland, Clem, I've followed on a number of different dioceses, made efforts at some form of renewal programme, and some of the places now, say like Limerick, Killala, and that worked really hard at it. And then when it came to implementing these new programmes that came through from the lay people, the big obstacle in an awful lot of cases were the priests. Precisely because they spent their whole lives in charge. They had the power. People with power are very slow to let go.
The word control springs to mind.
Oh, absolutely.
That once we exercise that. You know,
Tim.
Yes.
If I had any say in Kildare, I'd put you in charge.
Tony, people are just put their hands up in shock horror. But certainly locally last year, Tony, it brought it home graphically to us here, when a number of nuns, 5-6 nuns, died in a matter of a number of short days, nearly in the 1 week, from COVID. And as you said, people living in communities. But there are the stark statistics, folks, that we're presenting to you, that it's, and with the number of vocations to the priesthood being in single numbers, vocations to nuns and brothers, I'd say you could count them on the fingers of one hand in any given year. But the inevitability, Tony, the church is dying. I will say one thing, but people's relationship with God will be personal between themselves and their God, whoever that might be.
That's what you would hope, that in some form or other, that the faith will survive even when the institution dies.
On that lovely note, Tony, Father Tony Flannery, Redemptorist Priest and member of the Association of Catholic Priests, I wish you a happy new year and in advance and in anticipation. I'm sure you won't like be like Boris Johnson and have a birthday party next Tuesday.
I don't think I will.
But a very happy 75th
lovely
birthday.
Lovely talking to you, Clem.
And you too, Father Flannery, as well. Thank you very, very much indeed. Quick break, and then we're back with Councillor Evie Salmon and the Naas Municipal District, and then we're heading to chat about 500 people waiting for home care help in the Kildare HSC region, despite being already approved for such help. And don't forget, keep your messages coming. 0833 97 97 97 is our text number. Email studio at kfmradio.com, or you can call us on 045 898 999. Tony Flannery's a lovely man, isn't he? A man who has, you know, clung to his priesthood, has had his struggles with the institutional church, with the hierarchy, even with the papacy at the Vatican.
Kildare Today.
With Whitewater Shopping Centre Newbridge, Ireland's largest regional shopping centre. Fashion, food, film, all under one roof in the heart of Newbridge. WhitewaterSC.ie.
Some of your messages now. Mark, in relation to the gentleman or the young gentleman I referred to who's walking in on that very narrow margin of the road during the morning, he's walking in there at 7:30 in the morning when it's pitch dark. No, in dark clothing. Mark says, you know, there's a 50 km speed limit between the hotel and Conlon's, so there should be enough time to see the person without causing an issue. In fact, I'll correct what I said, Mark. He's walking in from beyond that, you know, where the old hunting ground pub used to be, out beyond the hotel there as well. He's walking in that very narrow margin, and it's pitch dark. He's going to get run over. If anybody knows him at all, they might just give him a bit of advice. Ah, yeah, civil servants work less. They do not work at all, bar the nurses, guard the firemen. You ever try to reach an apartment, always out. 6 days, says May, who is not happy at all with the public service. I think my next guest is under a small bit of time pressure, so let's go. Kira, yes.
Yes, good morning to Fine Gael Councillor Evie Salmon of Naas MD. Evie, I know you're under pressure this morning, so we're just going to begin with the joint motion you had with four of your colleagues. Good morning to you. And just tell us about the council. You asked them to initiate the process of the parking bylaws for Naas.
Yeah, so look, from the report, they are currently on Kildare and Newbridge, and they work through the remaining areas. And unfortunately, Salins and Naas are the last on that list that they're working through. So it is due for review, but we have made so many changes to the bylaws from you know, facilitating outdoor dining to changing the parking charges over Christmas and that sort of thing. So we're just looking to maybe get a handle on the bylaws, and the mayor has requested a meeting with the road section for the municipal district, and we accepted that the bylaws will be discussed as part of that, and maybe through that we can get a bit of a handle on them, because when you're making so many changes to them over the years, it becomes a mismatch of what the bylaws were originally. So we're hoping to get a handle on them at that meeting, and we'll discuss maybe bringing them forward. But, you know, like everything, there's a time pressure on all of this for staff, and they are making their way through other areas first.
Now, Evie, funding streams for variable message signs and tactical signs, that's for parking in Naas. Before you just go into what the council did say, just explain exactly what those two are.
This would be, so we actually spoke about the examples in Cork and Limerick. So it would be, as you're driving into the town, there would be a list of the car parks and a number that would change given the amount of spaces available in the town.
Would I be right, similar to something like Whitewater Shopping Centre in Newbridge, that
exactly,
type of...
Yeah, and it would change throughout the day, obviously, and then you wouldn't have people driving around from car park to car park trying to figure out which is full and which actually has a space. So it was suggested as part of the Naas and Salins Transport Strategy. This was in 2019. We were told at the meeting that the council did go and speak to Cork and Limerick. They spent over €1 million on their messaging signs. So we're talking big money. But if it's a case, and you know, the nationally there seems to be this push to be getting rid of on street parking, and that our main streets are your shop fronts, and that's what people are seeing as they drive through or walk through. So if that is to be the case, if that's what's coming down the line in Naas, we need these signs. And it was suggested by the manager that maybe we look at the next round of URDF, which is the Urban Regeneration Funding, to get these signs. Now, obviously, like, it's big work because every car park would need would need sensors for cars in and out, and the messaging to go back to those.
Yes,
doors.
And just to note that the council did say that there's no capital funding sources available as of right now. Evie, I don't mean to push you along. We're just a bit tight for time. So you've asked the council to write to APCOA. Regarding the map that could potentially be put in place for all disabled people's parking spaces in Naas.
Yeah, absolutely. So APCOA have an app at the moment. It gives the locations of the car parks in Naas, and you can also pay through that app. But what I'm looking for is either the disabled spaces to be added to that, or the council have said that they're in discussions with another app for Naas that would have the disabled parking spaces but the potential for other services as well. So I just think, you know, for people in the town, they know where the spaces are, but for people visiting, it would make it easier knowing in advance the location of these spaces.
Evie, finally, you asked the council to confirm if they did receive a response from the NTA regarding pedestrian crossings and the Dublin Road Part 8. What was the response there?
Yeah, so what I was looking for was that the pedestrian crossing would come forward just at the earliest part of that Part 8 on the Dublin Road, because there's a real need for a pedestrian crossing kind of from the Meadows and Burns Costa, and it's meant to be there. As you can see, there's a little island that actually comes out for where it is meant to be across to that side, because there's no lights or crossing from Barker and Jones right up to the Maxwell station there. So they have said they will ask again, but it is expected that the allocation for the Dublin Road scheme will be included in the 2022 programme.
Okay.
So it's good to see some progress on that.
Okay, Fine Gael Councillor Evie Salmon of Naas MD, good morning to you and thanks for the time.
Let's go to the north of the county now, and Raida Cronin, Sinn Féin TD, is calling on the government to act immediately on the growing home care crisis in North Kildare, where 500 approved cases are left waiting for home care help in the broader CH07 area. And of course, Kildare falls under that category. Raida, good morning to you. Welcome to the programme.
Good morning, Owen, and Happy New Year to you.
And
to everyone, to Ciara and Clem as well in the station.
And to you too. Just talk to us, Raida, about this. What exactly is going on here, and what have you heard from residents in North Kildare?
Yes, well, I have been talking to a lot of people. I have people on to me, and, you know, they're at the end of their tether, really, waiting for this kind of home care. And our home carers, they're an overlooked group, really, and they do powerful work looking after elderly people or people living with a disability. And, you know, the home care people that come and visit, they don't just bring, you know, that practical care of, you know, helping people get dressed in the morning, you know, helping people, you know, with food or you know, getting dressed and washed. They also bring that, you know, that life, really, that they're in for the chat. They're talking about what's going on locally, you know, something about what was on the telly last night, or about, you know, how the local team is doing. And they're poorly paid, and they do hugely important work, really, and I'm calling on the government to make sure that home carers in the private and the voluntary sector get the same rates as those paid by the HSE. Like the government, they admit that, you know, there is recruitment challenges in the sector, but it's the government. They really have to get out of their own way, because it's the government really have to solve it. There can be problems there with the working family payments, just because of family support payment. But, you know, they need to relax those limits for people who can have those hours and the qualifications to provide home care in the community.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit more about the reasons why there are those lack of home care workers in the area. Is it to do with pay? Is it to do with conditions? Because I know you're also calling for a reprioritisation for PCR testing, so perhaps a lot of the home care workers are isolating.
Yes, there can be a lot of people isolating, and there's a huge delay on PCR testing. You know, My own daughter had COVID over Christmas and she was waiting 6 days for her test. So there's a lot of people. So I'm looking for a priority for PCR testing and a relaxation around the hours and the income limits for part-time home care workers who are working in the community and, you know, might be depending on the working family payment to make ends meet. And, you know, if the government really have to look at that because they admit that there are factors, you know, the contracts of employment and, you know, that this is adding to recruitment challenges in the area. But, you know, it's the government and it's the government need to address this because, you know, the government really need to get out of there of its own way to solve this. And, you know, like a lot of people, they might need nursing home care, but most people want to stay in their own home and in their community as long as they possibly can. And home care is the way to do that. And, you know, I know that in Sinn Féin, there's a huge commitment of ours that we want to make people to move away from the nursing home care model and into the community model. And, you know, life is short and there's too many people depending on their lives, you know, depending on, you know, they're just waiting. They're waiting for a hospital treatment. They're waiting for a bed. They're waiting to see a consultant or a dentist, waiting to get a home. And now they're waiting for home care as well. And, you know, people are just losing too many vital years. Those vital years of their lives, waiting.
As you say, Rhaida, you're calling on the government to engage with the private and community and voluntary home care providers to incentivise the progression of the terms and conditions. And we'll follow that as well. As soon as you hear anything back from government representatives, do let us know. But as I said, from the outset, 500 approved cases are left waiting for home care help in the broader CH07 area, which incorporates Kildare, parts of Dublin and West Wicklow as well. But particularly, there is that crisis up in North Kildare, as outlined by Sinn Féin TD for the area, Rhaida Cronin. Thanks, Rhaida.
Thanks very much.
Thank you indeed, Rhaida and Owen, for that. Now, still significant traffic disruption at the Liffey Bridge in Carra, and we'll be speaking with Councillor Rob Power, who's meeting with the engineers just shortly after the news, obituaries and a bit of music in the next hour, when we'll also hear from a spokesperson for the relatives of the Stardust victims about no inquest being held so far. A listener wants to warn parents about checking young people's phones for cyberbullying. Irish Water will be telling us about the works they're carrying out in Castledown today. We're going back to the Clanmanuth Municipal District Councillor Nisha Carroll, and we'll have Crime Time with Gary Cogan. And of course, keep your messages coming to the usual sources as well. A listener says, I need to get my hearing aid checked because I think I just heard a Catholic priest on your radio show advocate for female priests. Yes, he did, and he wouldn't be alone in that, I have to say. Morning, Clem. Who else have I got here? Someone tell me have a good day. Lawrence in Monastrevin, I'll come back to your message in a minute, and the other ones regarding the signs that Evie Salmon was talking about. But I'll take a break and then we'll go to news.